Good morning, friends. Good morning, Lighthouse Church. Sanbonani, Kuyamora. We'll go straight into the Word of God. Now, just to remind you that this message is part two of the message that we started. And for those of you that have listened to part one, in part one, we spoke about a perfect life. And we started reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 7. Just to recap, so in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 7, in affirmative terms, the Bible tells us that you and me have been called to live a holy life. And we went on to read the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And we read what is now called, or what is called in the Bible, as the Ten Commandments. And in chapter 1, we said, if God, according to Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 7, if God has called us to live a holy life, then surely God has put a standard. God has put something in Scripture, something that you and me can look at and be able to judge our lives against and say, this is how a perfect life looks like. Am I living according to the standards that God has set? So just looking at the scripture differently, I want to encourage you to look at the Ten Commandments as a standard or a prescription of what a perfect life would look like. Praise God. And then we ask the question, especially for you and me in the New Testament, should we be paying attention to the Ten Commandments? And reading from the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus answers that question. And the answer is yes, because Jesus says, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And in affirmative terms, Jesus encourages us to obey the commandments and even to teach the commands to other people. And we said, as we take the gospel into the nations, teach the people to obey the law, to obey the commands. Praise the name of God. And then we also looked at the intentions of the law, what the law was intended for. We looked at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. And the Bible says, the law is our guide. The other version uses the word schoolmaster. In other words, the law was intended as a signpost, something to show us how a perfect life would look like. And we also looked at the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 3. The Bible clearly tells us that the law could not produce a holy life. The law could not produce a holy life or a perfect life. As in Galatians, the law could prescribe or show us how a perfect life would look like, but the law could not produce a holy life or a perfect life in us, because the Bible says the law was weakened, or it was powerless to produce, because it was weakened by the flesh. Praise God. So just to recap, the Ten Commandments were given to the people in the Old Testament, but as the New Testament church, as Jesus puts it, we are to pay attention to the commands. And we also said the Ten Commandments forms part of the 613 laws that were given to the people in the Old Testament to prescribe to them how a perfect life would look like. Praise God. Now the question is today, if the law could not produce a perfect life or a holy life, what is the remedy? So the topic for today is the need for Jesus. Praise God. Because in the same Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says this, chapter 3, verse 25. The Bible says, now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. And we know that the guardian the Bible is referring to, or the schoolmaster, is the law. But then the Bible says, now that this faith has come. So remember, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says there was something wrong with the law. Now, in Psalms chapter 19, I think it's verse 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect. But then Galatians says there was something wrong with the law. And we concluded that there was something wrong with the law because it could not produce holiness, and that the people were incapable of following the terms and conditions of the old covenant. So God had to get rid of the Old Testament, the old covenant, and he ushered in the new covenant, the dispensation of faith, or the dispensation of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible is talking about in Galatians chapter 3, verse 25 to 26. And it says this, the same thing that I read, and it says, now that this faith has come. Now means something happened. What happened? The old covenant is removed. Now, faith has come. And now that faith has come, the Bible continues to say, we are no longer under a guardian or the schoolmaster. In verse 26, so in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. Praise God. So we established in part one of the message that the law could prescribe how a holy life or a perfect life looks like. But just because something is prescribed does not mean that we have become that which the Bible has prescribed. We need something that can take us there so that we can look like what the Bible has described. And I left a question with us, and I said, just imagine if all of us could live up to standard, if all of us could just follow the law, I want you to imagine how life could look like for our communities or nations. If people could not take what does not belong to them, our leaders, if people could not murder, as the Bible says, do not, thou shalt not murder, how would life look like? Praise God. But we established, as I said, that the law could not produce that. So what could? And then the Bible is taking us through what could produce a perfect life, what could produce a holy life. It's the dispensation of faith, the dispensation of Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 17, verse 28, the Bible says this, for in him, in Jesus, we live, we move, and of our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Praise God. So in Jesus, in him, we can become what the law has prescribed. Now I want us to look at some of the practical ways of how Jesus can make it possible, how Jesus can make can make the law to be translated into actions or into action in our lives. Praise God. And the Bible in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9 gives us the answers. In verse 5, the Bible says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Praise God. So the Bible is talking about two kinds of people. It's talking to you as a believer. And the Bible addresses you, and the Bible says you do not live, or the assumption at least is that you are not living in the realm of the flesh. In other words, a life without God. You are living by yourself. The assumption is that you have the Spirit of God in you. In other words, you have submitted, you have surrendered your life to God, and God has put His Spirit in you. Praise God. Because the Bible says, if you have not surrendered your life and the Spirit of God is not in you, in other words, you are living in the realm of the flesh. And the Bible says you have your mind set on the things of this world. Praise God. So naturally, you and me, before we gave our lives to God, our minds were set on something else. Naturally. Because the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, before we give our lives to God, our minds are set on something else. We are incapable of desiring something that is of God. Praise God. But when we give our lives to Christ and God puts His Spirit on us, or in us, the Spirit in us begins to desire the ways of God, begins to desire the things of God. Praise God. So in other words, we still have our free will, because the Bible says you and me are created with a free will, the ability to choose what we want to do. But when the Spirit of God comes in us, He empowers our empowers us to choose that which is right. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13, the Bible says this: therefore, my dear friends, speaking to the believers, you and me, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's a part where you make a commitment, where you make an effort, because the Bible says continue working out your salvation. God has delivered you, God has saved you, you have surrendered your life, and you keep on searching scriptures. That's your part. You keep on going to church, fellowshipping with others. That is working out your salvation. You live a life of surrender. You surrender yourself to the will of God. You do that. The Bible says continue working out your salvation with fear and trembling, so that you can get to the perfect life prescribed in the Ten Commandments. You begin to worship as the Bible prescribes. You begin to relate with God as the Bible prescribes. You begin to relate and interact with others as the Bible prescribes. Praise God. And in verse 13, the Bible says this: for it is God who works in you to will and to act. That is powerful. For it is God who works in you. And as we read in the book of Romans, through the Spirit of God, God works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. In other words, without the Spirit of God, if you live in the realm of the flesh, without the Spirit of God, you have no ability to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. But when the Spirit of God comes, because He's working in you, you are able to will and to act to fulfill His good purpose. Praise God. So God is at work within everyone of His children. As you listen to me, God is working in you. God is working in me to will and to act. And when the Spirit of God comes in us, it changes our desires so that we want to do His will. That is why, friends, when you are not living up to what the Bible says, or you are not living according to the Word of God, you feel condemned. Your conscience is condemning you because the Spirit of God is pulling this side and you're pulling this side. The Spirit of God is convicting you to go the other direction in you, and you feel you feel that confusion within. There's that conflict within because it's like two people living in one. The Spirit of God and your flesh is also pulling the other side. Praise God. So friends, this is an incredible privilege and honor, so that we should live with a real sense of reverence as the Lord works in us. What a privilege to have God working us so that we can do the right thing. Praise God. And in summary, so the Ten Commandments has shown us two things. In chapter 1, we saw the Ten Commandments as prescribed what a holy life would look like, or a perfect life. But then Romans chapter 8, the Bible shows us that the commandments or the law is powerless to produce, and that creates a need for the Savior. So the law or the commandments is showing us two things. Our holy life looks like, or a perfect life, but it also reveals the need for Christ. Praise God. So we need to continue looking at the Ten Commandments, but we should know that we are incapable of following the Ten Commandments. Hence, the need for the Savior. Praise God. And the encouragement this morning is that God is working in me and God is working in you. May you have a lovely week, and may God bless you, and may you continue to live according to the purpose and the will of God. And God bless you. Amen.